Hey family, in today's video, we're going to be talking about five signs you have a stronghold, and we're also going to get to how you can overcome them. Also, we're going to be doing a live Q&A, so go ahead and get your questions ready. And if this is your very first time, my name is Josh Rezzi, also known as Coach Josh, and my goal is to help make sense of your life. And after you have watched this video and you like the vibes, go ahead and subscribe, because I would love to be your coach online. But as everyone is coming in and getting their questions ready, let's dive in to what Christian, I think it's Christian or Christopher, posted on my community tab, gave me this inspiration or this idea to be able to do this video, and I'm excited to do it. But let's get right into it by defining what a stronghold is. The Bible says, the quote says, or the definition of a stronghold is a deeply rooted belief, habit, or mindset that has a powerful influence over a person's thoughts, actions, and emotions. It often manifests as a persistent and resistant barrier to change or transformation. Let's define it again. A stronghold is not a shallow, but is a deeply rooted belief, habit, or mindset that has a powerful influence over a person's thoughts, actions, and emotions. It often manifests as a persistent and resistant barrier to change or transformation. So we see that a stronghold is a deeply rooted belief, a deeply rooted set of habits or mindset that influences. That's what I want you to think about. What are those strongholds in your life? What are those strong beliefs, strong settings in regards to your mind, or strong habits that's hindering you from success? It said it often manifests as these two things, as persistent and resistant barriers. I want to make sure I say that, because strongholds are very persistent. Demons guard strongholds more than they guard just about anything, because they know that these strongholds create cycles of their own, that demons just monitor, demons just manage these strongholds, because when they're deeply rooted, then the individual is caught up in their own web, in their own cycles. But if the individual begins to show growth towards God or begin to go in the opposite direction, that's when they jump in to introduce the stronghold, or to make it stronger, so that you won't go to the strength that comes from God, right? And so it's persistent. It does what it does. That's why last video we talked about how satanic, how the devil has devices. He employs certain things, and when they're employed, they do their job. It also says that a stronghold manifests as a resistant barrier. Not only are they persistent, and the demons that are managing them are ensuring they're persistent, but it also creates resistance. Like, the goal of a stronghold is to keep you from possessing, keeping you from succeeding, keeping you from grabbing a hold of what God has already predestined for you to have. Now, also I put here, the enemy uses strongholds to maintain control over individuals, keeping them bound by negative patterns of thinking, behavior, and emotions. These strongholds serve as a foothold for the enemy to influence and manipulate people, hindering them from experiencing freedom, growth, and the fullness of God's plans for life. So with a show of hands, how many people right now want to experience the fullness of God's plan for them? Go ahead and put a raise your hand emojis in the chat. How many people, you can scream out loud in your living room or your bedroom and say, hey, me, coach, I want the fullness, right? All of us, we want the fullness of God's plan for our lives, but are we really willing to have a full deliverance? The enemy uses strongholds. One of the greatest things that the enemy uses are strongholds, and he uses them to maintain control. All he does is reintroduce the root reason of why you may feel guilty, the root reason why you may feel hateful, right? Like, he reintroduced it because he wants to maintain control over us. It says keeping us bound by negative patterns of thinking. How many people right now watching me, the area of your stronghold is in your negative thinking. You tend to negatively think. You tend to always think the negative. Also, it says negative patterns of behaviors. You tend to behave opposite of how God wants you to behave. What about your emotions? Some people's strongholds is that they're easily emotionally triggered. And so the enemy uses those triggers, the enemy uses those thoughts, and the enemy uses those behaviors to keep you controlled. It says these strongholds serve as footholds for the enemy, meaning he has a foothold, meaning he has an advantage, meaning that he has leverage. He uses those footholds to influence and manipulate, hindering us from experiencing freedom, growth, and the fullness of God's plans for life. How many people under the sound of my voice right now could have already or should have already experienced God's fullness? How many singles right now should have, based upon God's plan, should have been married by now? How many married couples right now should have experienced the fullness of God's plan for them? How many of us right now should have already experienced to some degree or to some full degree of God's freedom? Do you know it is possible to be free from soul ties? Do you know it's possible to be freed from lust and pornography? Do you know it's possible for you to be freed from emotional turmoil? Do you know it is possible? But if you don't understand the root strongholds, my friend, then you won't be able to walk in that. And also, it hinders us from experiencing growth. How many of us should have grown from milk to meat by now? How many of us should have grown from this level of success and understanding to this level of success and understanding? Also, the fullness of God's plan. So a lot of people are raising their hands already. Joanne raised her hand. God's girl, my cousin, raising her hand. So many people are raising their hands right now because we all want to be freed. And so this is the right video for you to get that intel and information. So go ahead and share this with somebody, as well as go ahead and like and all that good stuff, so this video can get traction so that people can uproot those strongholds. Now, here's a military type of analogy when it comes to strongholds that I want to paint the picture for. It says, just as a military stronghold is a fortified position occupied by the enemy to control territory and hinder advancement, a spiritual stronghold is a fortified mindset or belief system occupied by the enemy to control one's thoughts and actions. Just as a military stronghold prevents access to certain areas or resources, a spiritual stronghold prevents individuals from accessing the fullness of God's blessings and purposes for their lives. The enemy occupies these mental spaces with negative emotions, sinful desires, and doubts, hindering us from becoming who God wants us to be and from fulfilling our God-given purpose. We got to break that down because that is so much in there. So you understand that when a military goes into a city, they look for key buildings. They look for key areas. They look for areas of intelligence. They look for areas as far as military bases of their enemy. They look for government buildings, and they occupy these buildings. They first create chaos, and they get people out of those facilities. And what they do is they then occupy these key areas of a particular city or region, knowing that that region will hinder anyone from occupying. So they want to access the nuclear plants. They want to access the military base. They want to access the communication hubs because they know those are very valuable and very specifically placed facilities. And what they do is they occupy those facilities that they don't own. And they utilize that as their bases. Now they use their military base as their base. They utilize that communication hub as their form of their area of communication. They find these territories to occupy, to hinder the progression of. And so let's break this down again. Just as a military stronghold is a fortified position occupied by the enemy, meaning that there is an area in your soul. That's why strongholds are in your soul. There's an area in your soul that the enemy demonically has occupied to keep what's in your spirit from being released. Enemy to control territory and hinder advancement. So the enemy occupies these areas of your soul. See, your soul houses these six things or seven things. Your soul houses your thoughts. Your soul houses your memories, your ideas, your perspectives, your knowledge bank. It also houses your emotions and it houses your skills. So your soul houses those different things. Now, on a sheet of paper, write those seven things down. Write down thoughts, write down memories, write down perspectives, write down ideas, write down your knowledge bank, write down your emotions, write down skills. Those are the seven most valuable occupancies that the enemy is after. If he can get into your thought life and your thought world and control the way you think, he'll occupy that place and he'll pump through that area negative thoughts that will hinder your advancement. He'll utilize your memories. That's why the enemy loves significant moments, because significant moments create significant memories. You and I can never forget, or will never forget, significant moments. Can you repeat the seven things? Yes, my sister. Thoughts, memories. Can someone type this for me as well? Thoughts, memories, perspectives, ideas. Let me say it again. Thoughts, memories, emotions, perspectives, ideas, knowledge, and skills. My wife gets, she said, thoughts, memories, emotions, perspectives, ideas, emotions, and skills. There we go. Thoughts, memories, perspectives, ideas, emotions, knowledge, and skills. Yeah, those are the seven. Oh, there we go. Memories, emotions. Let me use Alina's. Thoughts, memories, perspectives, ideas, emotions, knowledge, and skills. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. So these are some of the most valuable areas in our soulish realm. And the enemy wants to occupy our memories to use those significant moments significantly against us from making a significance. How many of us have been held back from making a significance in our spouse's life, making a significance in our children's life, making a significance in the kingdom of God because of a significant moment that happened in the past and is being significantly used in the moment? How many of us, we always have bad ideas, bad perspectives. Our knowledge is so accumulating of things that aren't even worth our understanding. So their goal is to occupy certain areas of our soul that will then hinder the advancement of your spirit man. See, your spirit man houses your personality, it houses your gifts and talents, and it houses the Holy Spirit. So the enemy wants to occupy through relationships, through all these different things to create these soul wounds in our thoughts and belief systems, soul wounds in our memories, soul wounds within our ideas. That deep rooted inside of us is resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, which then creates negative ideas. Or we're so consumed with lust and pornography deep down ourselves due to inadequacies and insecurities that it creates perverted ideas. And so you see how they occupy, then they occupy your perspectives. Like they want to shift the way you see marriage, shift the way you see singleness, shift the way you see money, shift the way you see the things of life. So they want to occupy those different things because those strongholds becomes barriers from the real you coming out, becoming barriers from your gifts and talents from coming out. And it becomes a barrier from the Holy Spirit developing a level of anointing through you that would dramatically shift the paradigms in people's lives. So the enemy is a military force. They want to occupy those areas of your soul to hold back the components of your spirit man. It says a spiritual stronghold is a fortified mindset, Some of us have set our minds to depraved settings. We have set our minds to demonic settings. We need to reset our minds to divine default settings. There are default mental settings that God wants our minds to be set on so that it will be pliable, useful, agile, etc. So a spiritual stronghold is a fortified mindset or belief system occupied by the enemy to control our thoughts. They want to control the way you think and the way that you act. Just as a military stronghold prevents access to certain areas or resources, a spiritual stronghold prevents individuals from accessing the fullness of God's blessing. So you have to be your full self and you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order for you to be able to experience the fullness of God. Now, what does that mean? Right now, as believers, we have the fullness of the Godhead in us. When you get saved, you don't get 20% of the Holy Spirit. You don't get 45% of him. And then if you do good the next 10 years or whatever, you'll get the rest of the Holy Spirit. Right now, as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, we have the fullness of his Spirit in us. But just because we have the fullness of the Spirit of God in us doesn't mean we have yet to allow him to fill every area. We have him in full, but we haven't given him our full. Okay. So there's certain areas locked up that we have yet to give the Holy Spirit access to clean up. So in order for us to experience the fullness of God, we have to be fully filled with the Holy Spirit, allowing him to keep certain areas cleansed and filled so that the enemy can't get no access. So right now in your spirit, man, you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says we are, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It doesn't say the renewing of your spirit. It says the renewing of your mind or your soul. So now you have to allow the Holy Spirit to take hold of every stronghold area in your soul, to shift the way you think, to shift the way you remember through your memories, to shift the way you conjure up ideas, to shift the way you perceive the things of this world, to shift what you know. So now you go from knowing all about LeBron and Caitlin's stats. You go from going from wondering about Angel Reese. You don't accumulate sports knowledge all the time alone. You don't accumulate all these different unnecessary knowledges. Now you're wanting to know God more. Now you want to know yourself more. Now you want to know your purpose more. Right. And so now the Holy Spirit begins to fill your knowledge bank, causing you not to think on or trying to accumulate knowledge of things that are pointless eternally. Then he wants to shift the way you feel. He also wants to shift the way you develop skills. So no longer are you skillful at lustful and sinful things, but you now have skills that can advance the kingdom of God. So we have the fullness of the Holy Ghost in our spirit, man, but have we allowed him to fill every area of our lives? If not, the enemy will create strongholds to prevent us from accessing the fullness of God's blessing and purpose for our lives. It says the enemy occupies these mental spaces. That's why you heard over the years, the battlefield of the mind. The enemy occupies these mental spaces with negative emotions, sinful desires, and doubts. These three things are very key, hindering us from becoming who God wants us to be and for fulfilling our God-given purpose. So the enemy knows, how many experiences can I have you experience that will cause a soul wound, which will then cause a soul tie, which then cause a stronghold? How can I get you to get into relationships prematurely? How can I get you to give your body away prematurely? How can I get you to be around or affected by negative environments from your childhood all the way up to your adulthood? How can I utilize these experiences to puncture holes in your soul, which then will cause entrances for the enemy to come in to create strongholds that will then hold you back from becoming? Because the devil knows he cannot hinder anything coming your way unless he hinders you from becoming what you need to be. The thing about life is, we're not human havings, we're not human doings, we're human beings. The more you become, the more you will behold. The more you become, the more you'll behold. So if the enemy can hinder you from becoming that man of God, becoming that woman of God, becoming that husband, becoming that wife, becoming that father, becoming that mother, then you won't be able to experience the full blessings that comes when someone is full as a blessing. So now you see why we have to be on lookout, heads on swivels, to make sure that we're not allowing ourselves to be occupied demonically with demonic devices through demonic bombs in our minds, demonic traps in our minds, whether it's through thoughts, memories, emotions, etc. Now, let's talk about types of strongholds. H-O-L-D. I don't know if I got to ask. No. Types of strongholds. We're going to get through this real quickly. Types strong. I'm going to give you types of strongholds so you can get a picture of it. Number one, H, hatred. Hatred is a type of stronghold. It's a stronghold of hatred can lead to bitterness, resentment, and a desire for revenge, consuming the individual's thoughts and emotions. How many people right now have a stronghold of hatred? You hate your mother. You hate your father. You hate yourself. You hate God. You hate that individual. Now, how does hatred form into a stronghold? A stronghold of hatred often forms when individuals harbor, that means you dwelt on, you held on to, grudges, hold on to past hurts, or refuse to forgive others. These negative emotions gradually build up and become entrenched, fueling bitterness, resentment, and a desire for revenge. As individuals dwell on these feelings, the strongholds of hatred takes root in their hearts, consuming their thoughts and emotions. So now you can't even become someone that can really cause havoc against the enemy because you're hating on your enemy or you're hateful of yourself. Self-hatred. Let's talk about, for time's sake, I'm going to keep going. Obsession. Obsessive thoughts, H-O-L-D-S, oh, we don't O now, obsession, obsessive thoughts or behaviors can become a stronghold, dominating one's mind and preventing them from focusing on what truly matters in life. How many people are obsessed with sports, obsessed with an ex, obsessed with other individual, obsessed with this TV show, obsession, obsession, obsession. And these obsessions keeps us from possessions. Obsessing keeps us from possessing. Now, how does an obsession form into a stronghold? Strongholds of obsession typically form when individuals fixate on certain thoughts, desires, or behaviors to the point of becoming consumed by them. This could include obsessive thoughts about success, obsessive thoughts about obsessive thoughts about success, appearance, relationships, or material possessions. Over time, these obsessions take hold in the individual's mind, dominating their thoughts and preventing them from focusing on what truly matters. How many entrepreneurs right now, business owners right now, I've coached a great number of them, and we found together that these individuals became so obsessed with success that their families were not successful. Their health wasn't succeeding. Their relationship with God was not succeeding. And so now they became so obsessed with success that they only became one-dimensional providers. I counsel a lot of men, and they're high-level entrepreneurs, very successful, and they provided nice homes, provided nice cars, provided private schooling, but they weren't able to cultivate a level of provision to be able to provide the emotional need, the spiritual need, and the physical presence needed for their family to succeed. Obsessed. People obsessed with relationships, obsessed with their appearance. Anything you obsess over, you will make a mess over. Let's keep going. Some of these points, I'll do an individual video on them. L, lust. So H is hatred. O is obsession. L is lust. Lustful desires can create a stronghold, leading to unhealthy relationships, addiction to pornography, and other destructive behaviors. Let's talk about how lust becomes a stronghold. A stronghold of lust often develops when individuals indulge and sinful desires and fantasies. That's why Jesus said, when a man look at a woman with lustful intent in his heart, he's already committed adultery with her in his heart. Have you ever been in a place where you woke up one morning and you was like, I'm going to eat this today, or I'm going to cook this today? You've already had the image of the meal you're going to cook. And if you possess the ingredients in your house to cook it, you will cook it. And not only will you cook it, you will eat it. So we've all woken up one day and said, I'm going to cook this today. And then you had an image in your mind, or you woke up one day and said, I'm going to accomplish this today. And you already had a mental picture, which means the mental picture is proof that it's already proved that it will accomplish. Because it's in the mind already, it manifests because the mind already manifested the image in the mind. The same is with lusting after women or lusting after men. You've already created scenarios, experiences in your mind, indulging in the idea of the experience, indulging in the fantasy, which then creates a level of shopping in your mind to be able to shop for the ingredients to harbor in your heart that you would, if you had the opportunity, would sleep with that person, would do that with that person. And now that fantasy and indulgence creates this level of entitlement, a level of expectation that when you harbor that in your heart, even though you may not have slept with the woman that you're about to marry, now you have this false ideal or expectation sexually from your spouse, not knowing that a wife cannot perform the same tricks that you saw tricking in a video. Or that what you saw or may have experienced sexually, the way a man, the way he went to pound town and all that kind of stuff, that you expect that same thing from a husband that's trying to provide. So you see that if you have the ingredients and the image, then you will materialize or itemize the thing in your life. A stronghold of lust often develops when individuals indulge in sinful desires and fantasies, particularly in the realm of sexual immorality. Exposure to sexually explicit content, unhealthy relationships, or uncontrolled desires can fuel this stronghold. Notice, has uncontrolled desires. There's nothing wrong with desiring intimacy one day in marriage, but when it becomes uncontrollable, it will fuel this stronghold. It says leading to addiction to pornography, promiscuity, or other destructive behaviors. Now you see women addicted to the images, and they may say that they want to be pure and they want to be modest, but your clothing says something else. The way you carry yourself says something else. You cannot dress immodestly and then expect to be perceived a certain kind of way. So not just pornography for men and women, but promiscuity. As individuals continue to feed their lust for desires, the stronghold tightens its grip on their hearts and minds, distorting their view on sexuality and relationship. That's why you have so many people disappointed in the sex and in their sexual experience with their spouses, disappointed in their marriage, because they realize that what they have been indulging in privately, when it's time to perform, they realize that that woman cannot meet the expectation, or that man cannot meet the expectation, even though that man is a good man, that woman is a good woman. But because you created these lustful desires and fantasies that got you out of reality, now you disappointed because they did not meet your lustful expectations, and now you're devastated, looking for somebody to come into your life to give you what you need. That's why it's important not to create these fantasies, lustful desires, because they create unrealistic expectation, which then sends you into disappointment when you're not experiencing from the one that's actually able to meet that appointment. And then now they feel inside of themselves insecure or inadequate because they feel like they couldn't satisfy you. And now, since you're unsatisfied, you have to get satisfied, because one thing about lust is hungry. Lust is never satisfied. It's going to crave, it's going to rave, and eventually put you in the grave. Whew. D, doubts. Doubt can form a stronghold in a person's mind, causing them to question their faith, abilities, and worthiness. I gotta speed up. Ultimately undermining their confidence and trust in God. Now, how does doubt form into a stronghold? Strongholds of doubt typically from when individuals entertain negative thoughts, uncertainties, or skepticism about themselves, their faith, or their circumstances. Doubt creeps in through various avenues, such as past failures, disappointments, or comparison with others. As individuals dwell on these doubts and allow them to fester, the stronghold of doubt takes root in their minds, undermining their confidence, trust in God, and ability to move forward in faith. Now, so we talked about the top five strongholds, spelling hold, hatred, obsession, L, lust, D, doubts. Let's keep going for time's sake. I'll skip this section here. Signs you have a stronghold. This is what brought you the video. It took me 30 minutes to get to it. Every preacher has a 30-minute intro. every preacher that really cares about your growth, their intro, no, I'm just joking. Introduction be like 30 minutes long, but we're here now. Signs you have a stronghold, S-I-G-N-S, signs you have a stronghold quickly, and then we're going to talk about how to overcome or strategies to help you overcome these strongholds. And I also have a worksheet for you as well, and we'll go through that worksheet together briefly, and then I'm going to answer your questions, so get your questions right now. Signs you have a stronghold, S, struggle. Struggle, the number one sign. S, struggle. Individual strongholds often struggle with persistent negative thoughts, emotions, or behaviors that they find difficult to overcome. We are overcomers. The Bible says we're more than conquerors. That's who we are in Him. But when we are in them, those strongholds, when we're in ourselves, these struggles become deep and significant and too difficult to overcome. And so a sign that you have a stronghold is when you struggle with or there's difficulty overcome. So whatever that is, that's difficult for you to overcome, that's difficult and you struggle with it and you find no hope, no area, my friend, that's a stronghold. So if you got lust, hatred, obsession, or doubts, and it's hard for you, you try to read the Bible's difficult because that enemy has occupied your belief more than God has occupied, or you allow the Holy Spirit to occupy. And so now you got to go directly against that false belief system. I'm getting to the solutions, but we'll get there. So S, struggle. Individual strongholds often struggle with persistent negative thoughts, emotions, or behaviors that they find difficult to overcome. I, isolation. Strongholds can lead to feelings of isolation as individuals withdraw from others due to shame, guilt, or fear of judgment. That is another sign that you have a stronghold. G, guilt. A sense of guilt or condemnation is common among those with strongholds as they feel burdened by their past mistakes or ongoing struggles. If you struggle with guilt all the time, even with the evidence that you are guiltless, and that you should be shameless or blameless because of the blood that's been imputed on you, the righteousness of Jesus that's been imputed on you. If you don't fully understand that biblical truth, then and that guilt is hard to overcome. No matter what you try to do today, it's hard to overcome that past mistake. You can't even go and take because of a past mistake. Then, my friend, it's a sign you struggle with a stronghold. In negativity. Strongholds often manifest in a pattern of negative thinking where individuals focus on their failures, shortcomings, or the worst case scenarios. That's a sign you have a stronghold. You always think about the failures, the shortcomings, or you always create worst case scenarios that keeps you from dominating. Last but not least, S, stagnation. People with strongholds may experience a sense of stagnation or a lack of progress in various areas of their lives, feeling stuck or unable to move forward, meaning that you can't even move forward as a husband, move forward as a wife, move forward in your singles because you feel stagnant. Because whatever it is that you're feeling, you feel stuck, you feel unable to move forward, you feel like you cannot move. So signs, you have a stronghold, S, struggles, I, isolation, G, guilt, N, negativity, and S, stagnation. Now let's get to the solution. 5-10 minutes on the solution, then we get to the Q&A. How to overcome any stronghold. I don't care what it is, any stronghold. Here are some strategies to prevent or overcome strongholds using points that spell how. First H, you have to do an honest assessment. Begin by honestly assessing the stronghold's root causes, acknowledging its presence and impact in life. So you have to do an honest assessment. Most people, they want to treat the fruit issue, but they don't want to treat the root issue. They want to treat the pornography, but they don't want to treat the inadequacy. They want to treat the comparison, but they don't want to treat the insecurity. So people want to take Josh, coach, help me get rid of this fruit. No, we got to get to the roots. The healthier the roots, the healthier the fruits. You see, the issue is most people want to go wide before they go deep. They do backwards. A tree doesn't go wide first. A tree goes deep first. What you see on the outside is the same width and same depth as the height and width of what it shows above ground. So most people, the reason why they're not able to progress and succeed and they have fruit issues is because they want to go wide and they want to hold more without first getting the roots deep. You got to allow your roots to find the water, to find the stream. That's why the Bible says we'll be like a tree planted by rivers of waters whose leaves will not fade. So that's why we catch the fade demonically, because we're not rooted deeply and our grass and our, not our grass, but our leaves are withering. So you have to do an honest assessment. Is it because you have yet to forgive your dad? Is it because of that childhood trauma or that teenage drama that's keeping you from being a star in God's drama for your life? So number one, you got to begin an honest assessment of your strongholds. And I'm going to show you on the worksheet how to do that. Oh, openness to change. You have to be open to change. You have to love what's on the opposite side of the change than what's going on in your life now. Be open to change and willing to confront the stronghold, recognizing that overcoming it requires intentional effort and a commitment to growth. You cannot desire the stronghold away. You cannot speak the stronghold away. You have to live the stronghold away. You have to discipline the stronghold away. You got to think with a new thought pattern the stronghold away. W, warfare and prayer. W, warfare and prayer. Engage in spiritual warfare through prayer, seeking God's strength, wisdom, and guidance in dismantling the stronghold and replacing it with his truth and freedom. So you have to attack that thing with the word of God as your weapon, not just the word of God, but you have to infuse that word of God with belief and faith, with works. You just can't speak the word without the works. Most people, all they do is sit back and speak the word. But the Bible says faith without works is dead. The word of God without the works of God remains. The situation remains is what I'm saying. You just can't speak the word. Don't get me wrong. There are some times, a lot of times, where you speak the word. But that word is so deep in you that you believe it so strongly that when you speak, the activity of the word spoken from the prerequisite works. You have to have prerequisite works to get a level of anointing on the word that you speak to create the belief to know that that word works. So you have to have prerequisite works in order for the word to work in certain regards. And what I mean by that, I'm talking about works of prayer, works of belief, works of consecration, works of concentration. Those kind of works, works that builds that level of momentum. That builds that level of weight spiritually so that when you do speak at that situation, the anointing, the work ethic, the worship ethics from the weeks to prior floods into that situation and knocks that stronghold over. Whew. So you can speak the word all day, but if you don't have prerequisite works of belief, prerequisite works of building that spirit, man, then my friend, your words will just hit on shallow ground. And last point is an H, but I put it last because that's the order it comes with. Healthy habits. Cultivate healthy habits and disciplines that counteract the stronghold, such as reading scripture, surrounding yourself with positive influences, and seeking support from trusted mentors or counselors. Let's go ahead and pull up the worksheet real quick. They want to answer some questions. Can y'all still see me? I think I got, okay. Make sure I can still see me. And make sure I turn my Wi-Fi off on my phone. Overcoming strongholds worksheet. Here we go. Let me see. How do I get that? There we go. Here we go. Overcoming strongholds worksheet. Use the following framework to guide your journey in overcoming strongholds in your life. You can get this worksheet right now. Link in the description box below, mycoachjosh.com/worksheets. Listen, the goal with this channel is to help you to fulfill higher. That's why I have to give you work. And I call these life work. You see, life work is my educational company, my wife and I's company, because we want your life to work. But you have to know your life's work in order for your life to work, right? And but you have to get your life working, right? And so that's why we give you these worksheets. Instructions, use the following framework to guide your journey and overcoming strongholds in your life. Reflect on each point and write down your thoughts, insights, and action steps. Number one, honest assessment. Identify the stronghold. What specific negative thought patterns, behaviors, or emotions do you recognize as a stronghold in your life? Write that down. Next, reflect on the root cause. What underlying beliefs, past experience, or influences have contributed to the development of these strongholds? Next, assess the impact. How have these strongholds affected your relationships, emotions, spiritual life, and overall well-being? Openness to change. Embrace willingness. Are you willing? You got to be honest. Are you willing to acknowledge a stronghold and commit to overcoming it, even if it requires discomfort or vulnerability? You have to be uncomfortable and you have to be vulnerable. The Holy Spirit, you have to first be vulnerable to God. Be honest. God says you can approach the throne room boldly, not because of what you did, but because of what Christ did. So you have to be vulnerable with God. God, I'm vulnerable. Yo, I'm struggling with this. You got to be open communication with God. Then the Holy Spirit will then strategically surround you with the right people, God's hands and earthly hands, man's or woman's hands, man or woman's presence to help you navigate it. You have to be willing to be uncomfortable and willing to be vulnerable. Cultivate openness. How can you cultivate attitude of openness to change and growth in this area of your life? Set intentions. What specific intentions or goals do you have for overcoming the stronghold and experiencing freedom? Warfare and prayer. Spend time in prayer. Listen, the prerequisite works work. Spend time in prayer, asking God to reveal his truth and wisdom concerning the stronghold in your life. That means getting into the word of God as well. Go to Google and type scriptures for this particular area. Pray for strength. Seek God's strength and empowerment to resist strongholds, grip, and walk in freedom. Pray for transformation. Pray for God's transformative work in your heart and mind, replacing the stronghold with his peace, truth, and love. These three things right here eradicates. They are the active ingredients by which the Holy Spirit uses to remove strongholds. Peace gives you perspective. Peace lets you know God is with you. Truth says, here's freedom. Bible says the truth will set you free. God's love will eradicate all those insecurities, those inadequacies, all those root issues, unforgiveness, resentment. God's love will uproot all of that out. Peace will then get rid of anxiety. Truth will get rid of the devil's lies. Love will get rid of all those fatherlessness, motherlessness, those trauma, dramatic and traumatic experiences from childhood and even into adulthood. Healthy habits. Establish positive routines. Identify healthy habits and disciplines that can help counteract the stronghold's influence in your life. Daily scripture reading, journaling, seeking accountability, etc. Surround yourself with support. You cannot handle God's accounts if you don't have accountability. Seek out supportive relations. Let the Holy Spirit lead you on that with friends, family members, or mentors who can encourage and uplift you on your journey. It takes a village. Practice self-care, big one. Prioritize self-care practice that nurture your physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being, fostering resilience and strength. Conclusion. As you work through this worksheet, remember that overcoming strongholds is a journey. Don't expect to be overcome overnight. It takes many nights to overcome that one night. It's a journey that requires patience, persistence, and a reliance on God's grace. Stay committed to the process, lean on his strength, and trust that he is faithful to bring about transformation and freedom in your life. Pray this video was a blessing to you. I'm going to answer some questions in a minute. So make sure you check out that worksheet, download it, and allow it to be uploaded into you and all that good stuff. Check out the links in my description box below for coaching. If you need me as a mentor, let me know. I have coaching programs for you. I have communities for you that you can get plugged into with other like-minded people so that you can grow and uproot these strongholds so you can take a hold of what God has for you. So check out those LifeWork communities. Check out my coaching programs. Check out 10 of my books, and my 11th book comes out tomorrow. I'm going to tell you the title right now because it's coming out tomorrow, The Purpose of Relationships. This book, do I got the copy? I don't even have the copy on me right now. Is in another room. But it's a book that helps you with your relationship with God, relationship with yourself, relationship with family. It's helping you to become more relatable. I'm teaching you guys the fundamentals of relationships. So the next few months, if not a couple of years, we're going to be diving deep into that book. So get plugged into the communities, get plugged in to some level of coaching and mentoring. Book launches tomorrow. I'm excited to let you guys see it, experience it, all that good stuff. So let's get some questions. Joanne says, I've definitely trying to sever the strongholds in my life, such as past people. Yeah, it's possible. And how you sever soul ties from past people is investigating and auditing those people. Are these people even worth you thinking about or feeling about? You got to investigate factually, not emotionally. You got to look at it. So I want you to get a sheet of paper. I want you to write that past person down. And I want you to write down who they really are, who they really were. And I want you to begin to write down why that person should no longer live rent-free in your mind now. Write the facts down. Because when you write the facts down, then you can act up. You can start acting up higher in a higher frequency because you have the truth there. Hope to help. Hey, my sister Unique is in the one of the communities. So she loves it. She's enjoying it. Check it out. Jody Summer says, how did you and your wife remain celibate before getting married? Did you both not spend nights or time together alone? I need tips for whenever I meet my wife. Great question, family. Well, first off, you have to have a fear of God. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. You have to have a deep sense of reverence for God and reverence for God's designs. That means you have to have reverence, not just of God. You got to have reverence of his designs. You have to have reverence of the divine and reverence of the designs. And what do I mean? The Bible says marriage must be held in honor. Women must be held in honor. So when you reverence God, God would then teach you how to reverence his designs. You begin to reverence the design of the woman and what she's capable of. You begin to reverence that if I lead her prematurely sexually, I unlock certain emotions inside of her. I release unnecessary floods and rivers of emotions that then becomes a hindrance to me. Because whatever you give a woman multiplies. When you give your wife sperm, she gives you a child. When you give your wife a house, she gives you a home. When you give your wife drama, she'll give you drama. And she'll multiply it. So that's why when you reverence God's divinity and his divineness, then you begin to reverence his designs and what and how it was meant to be engaged. Because, you know, if you honor God's designs for marriage, designs for courtship, designs for you as a son of God, then you will begin to see logically why you shouldn't sexually engage prematurely. So when you have that deep level of reverence for God, and it's going to be difficult at times because you're in love with that person. But when you reverence God first, then it will allow you to develop certain skills. Wisdom is skill. Certain self-control skills, certain perspective skills, where you thinking skills, where you're able to think yourself out of fantasies, that you better think yourself out of looking at her behind. You'll think yourself out of it. And so you got to first reverence God and who he is, because the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning, not the middle or the end. It's the beginning of all wisdom. So when you reverence his designs, then when you're around his designs, you would take care of it. Secondly, you got to have something productive in your life still. What helped me was I was still doing Unplugged. I was still writing books. I was distracted from being distracted. So yes, to answer your question, no, we did not spend the night at each other's house. And anytime that it got hot and heavy in certain moments, we avoided those moments because we're humans. But yes, both my wife and I were virgins when we got married. And the virginity was not based upon there's no casting no shame on nobody, because God can, any man who, a woman who is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. God can reborn you into a pure state. Even though you may not be it physically, you will be it holistically. You will be it mentally. You will be it emotionally. And when those mental, emotional, spiritual things have been renewed, it will be as if you didn't do it physically at all. Whew, we preaching today. So first off, you gotta start reverencing God now. You have to start studying God's designs, the order and design of marriage. And you will also be able to say, you know what, if I have sex with this woman prematurely, I will have caused or torpedo to immediately sink my marriage. I'm not saying, I'm talking about if you don't allow the grace and mercy of God in, it will sink your marriage. Because when you start, because it's easy to make lust, but it's hard to make love. It is easier to make lust than it is to make love. Anyone who's ever made out, had sex before marriage, you know that that level of lust intimacy is not in a marriage. And you're like, where is this at? We were sneaking and creeping and doing all this kind of stuff. But when it's marriage, and men have to fight that, because once you have conquered and you have brought Bambi to the house, you done brought the wife to the house, you have to have love, not lust. Because lust is not satisfied with something already conquered. Oh, my goodness. Lust is not satisfied with anything it has conquered. So once you put a ring on it, once you get married to her, if you're still in a lustful state, you can't make love to her. Because all you want to do is be selfish. Sex in marriage does not thrive in selfishness. You have to be selfless. So if you practice these different things and engage these different things, then when you get married, my friend, then that will cause a warning. That will say, I can't sleep with you. Because I rather, if I sleep with you now, I would get addicted to lusting you, then I would be ill-equipped to love you. Making love is difficult because love is logical. You have to still make love even if she got on your nerves. You still got to make love even if he gets on your nerves, because you know if you separate the cleaving, people be tempted to leaving. That's what the Bible says. Don't go too long in prayer. Don't go too long and don't come together. Y'all better come together. Cleaving keeps things from leaving. Yeah, man. So number one, you got to reverence the divine and then reverence his designs. And you do that by studying and understanding what it means. And then you got to think about the future potential consequences of not adhering to the divine or his designs and how it will ruin anything you intertwine yourself with. Hope that helped. And so here's a resource that I think will be a benefit to you. Check out my book, Dating Prep, family. This book has a ton of questions that without question would keep you from getting into messes prematurely. So check out this book, Dating Prep. It's a great resource. I think that will help you, fam. Let's see where we at. My brother. Hey, my brother, how you doing? My brother said, I'm preaching. The Holy Ghost is preaching, my brother. Thank you for joining the live, family. Let me see. Joanne had, okay, I want the fullness of God's plan for my life. Good. Hi, Coach Josh. How can we know the devil put delay in your life? Great question. One thing that I love about God, don't focus on the delay. Focus on development. Because the time can be redeemed the quicker your mind becomes renewed. The Bible talks about how he'll redeem the time with the canker worm and all that eating in your life. So how can the devil put a delay in your life? It's when you know that there's a delay, because the devil cannot put a delay without your consent. The devil cannot delay your life without your consent. So don't give him consent. And so you know there's a delay in your life when there's frustration, when there's stagnation, when there's all these different emotional turmoils in your life. That's when you know he put a delay in your life. But focus on renewing your mind in an area that you feel like you delayed in. So if you feel like you delayed in your singleness, or you delayed in your marriage, you delayed in an area, whatever, find a root issue to that delay, which is the root reason to all delay is a lack of discipline. And add those discipline in your life. And then you will begin, as you become the person that you must become, then you will begin to find yourself attracting the thing that you thought would have been attracted by now. Hope that. My sister said, get the books, get all 10. She said, get all 10 of them, get all 11. And I'm going to give you a secret right now. The book's actually on Amazon right now, if you want it. Real talk. If you want the book come out. The book come out. Let me see if I can find a book for you. Joshua Ezzy. And because you're on this live right now, I'm going to give you exclusive. If you want to get the book right now, you can get the book right now. Y'all be the first one. Y'all the first ones to know. There it is at the top. Hold on, let me share the screen. Get the book right now if you want it. It comes out tomorrow, but it's on Amazon today. Let me see. Can y'all see me? Am I moving? Okay, good. Oh, that's my wife texting. Let me see what she's saying. Okay, good, good. Here you go. The book is available right now as we speak. The Purpose of Relationships. Let me make sure y'all can see it. The Purpose of Relationships, Mastering the Art of All Relationships, a Comprehensive Guide to Thriving in Life's Connections. Go ahead and get the book now. You can get it by Friday if you got Prime. And so we see the Purpose of Relationships. I mean, oh, man, I can't. I'll talk more about the book tomorrow. Also, there's a workbook that come with it. There we go. Here's the workbook. Ton of questions, ton of worksheets. Get the book today. And we have launched. And we'll be starting in May, called Relationship Mastery. If you want to get to a place where you want to master relationship, because listen, your success is pending, depending on how you do these four relationships. This book talks about relationship with God. It teaches you about relationship with yourself, teach relationship with those who have spouses and children. And if you don't have a spouse children yet, keep the book, because when you do, you'll be prepared. And so the book talks about the six steps to relatability. Relatability has authenticity, has respect, it has empathy, humility, effective communication, and adaptability. So get the book now. It comes out tomorrow, but it's available to you all today. The Purpose of Relationships. Check it out now. All that good stuff. So let's get back to the questions, because I got to get off here pretty soon to honor my wife. Okay, good, good, good. I want an autographed book, coach. I got you, fam. Let me know. Let me know, fam. Where you just message me. Let me not say that, because then everybody's going to want an autograph book. And now if you buy the book, hold on, let me see. Let me think. I got you, fam. You always in my life. Let me figure that out how I can get it for you, man. Thank you, my sister. Is that all the questions? Oh, I came all the way down to the bottom. Yes, it is possible. I'm a witness. Okay, good. Can you okay, good, good, good. Wow, man. Okay, good. Okay, that's all the questions. Are you having Zoom class? Yes. Listen. All of my master classes are already done. I've done three master. I did a mindset master class. I did a purpose master class. I did a relationship master class. So all those master classes are free on my website. All future master classes will be in my life work community. So if you choose the $87 tier on my life work communities, whether it's the Thriving Solo or Thriving Together, I will be doing master classes at that price point for people who want to grow in those particular areas. And my wife says that she is ready to teach. And so my wife will be helping me with that community when she feels led. And so go ahead and for those at the $87 tier or the higher tier, which is $7.99, we're talking about you getting sessions with me, you getting personalized, whatever. If you get into those different tiers, you will get access as often as you pay monthly to those master classes. So $87 for a month, you'll get access to master class, you'll get access to worksheets, you'll get access to that. It will be my lowest level of mentoring and coaching. If you want the elite level coaching and you really want the expedited, clear path to transformation quicker, you got to check out my other coaching program, which is Mindset Mastery, Relationship Mastery, as well as Fulfillment Elite. I'm focusing now for people who desire to be high fulfillers. So I'm going to be talking to my entrepreneurs a lot. I'm going to be talking to my creatives a lot. I'm going to talk to the people who are doers and those who desire to do. So, everyone has a price point. $27 will get you access where certain people are involved at. That gives you access to challenges, access to general worksheets, and I may go live periodically in there. But the higher you go up, the more access. If you want those master classes and you really want to be a part of a community where you could be iron sharp as iron, then check out those communities now. You can do that right now on my website, mycoachjosh.com. Also, I have an opportunity for those who wants to be affiliates. Those who say, coach, man, I love what you're doing. I support what you do. And if you support me, I'm going to pay you. And so for every program that you, let me see if I can show it to you. And I'm going to get y'all's questions. For every program that you help me To get people a part of, for those people who got singles group at your churches, people who got marriage groups in your churches, and you get people involved in these communities, and we could partner with your church, partner with your organization, whatever it is, get people in. I will be paying you as well. So let me show you that real quick. I'm going to show you my website, Coach Josh. And so all of my programs are up under here. You go to programs and you can check out all of my programs. We got Thriving Solo, our Life Work Communities, Mindset Mastery, Relationship Mastery. This stuff is because of our brothers and sisters on the channel. I'm showing you the stuff early. We're supposed to come out tomorrow, but either way, we're close to tomorrow. Fulfillment Elite is for those high-level entrepreneurs, those people who really want holistic success and really want to learn how to manage all aspects of life. Also, this is where you get all the free master classes. If you want to say, hey, coach, I want to listen first before I invest, man, y'all know what it is. You can do that as well. So if you want to become an affiliate, come down here and it will show you what you would get for with every product you sell. You sell a $27 ticket, you get $10 of that, $20 of 87, 160 of the 800. And also you can make between with those high level programs, 20% of the commission of every high ticket coaching program that you bring in. See, it got me stalling. I know one of the internet's acting up right now. Thumbs up if you guys can hear me or see me. My internet's acting up a little bit. Let me know if y'all can. Let me see a thumbs up. I just want to make sure you guys are getting this. There we go. Internet's back going. And so you can make, if depending on what program, because my high ticket programs range based upon grants and scholarships, range between $7,000 to $30,000. And so you can make between $1,400 to $6,000 per program you help me with, because you already know that coach gets the work done. And you know that if you've watched my YouTube videos and download my worksheets for free, man, imagine the deeper you go into coaching with me. So that's my affiliate program. So you can sign up today, all that good stuff, books, card games, culture programs. My wife said thumbs up. She feels the release. She's going to be helping me as well. And so we're excited about our life work company, that we're going to be educating and equipping you all to grow holistically for God's opportunity. Jazz said, I definitely don't mind paying you for your information. It's worth it. Family, jump in. Master classes starts in May. For the whole rest of the month of April, we're going to be pushing. And coach is going to pay you. We're going for helping me out. I'm going to help you out for sure. And so if you've been blessed by this and you know that people need to know about this that they may not know already, let them know. And we're excited to serve and steward them. And there are going to be other perks too. For those who are 3 months in, I believe every 3 months, we'll send you out a book or a t-shirt. We'll send you out something for being consistent and faithful to us. If you pay for the whole year at that tier, then we'll definitely send you some gear. I'm going to make sure I didn't miss any questions. Okay. So, Jazz, you sign up, family. I'll send you an autographed book, family. Sign up today or whenever you can, brother. I'll get your autographed book on your way to you. That's it. Thank y'all so much for joining me. I pray that you was blessed. Tomorrow starts the focus of developing relatability so that we can become better in our relationships, so that we don't end up losing our marriages, losing our children, losing ourselves, and losing our wealth. Because a lot of entrepreneurs that I coach, man, they got a lot of money, but they're losing their family. They're losing their eternity. And what profits a man or woman if they gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit their soul? Joanna says, thank you for tonight's video. This was right on time. I'll be grabbing the book. Thank you all so much for your support. The book, oh man, I can't wait. It's out now, but I can't wait to teach it. I can't wait to get into these communities heavily. I think I said it right. And be able to invest in you all. So get in the communities now. We start tomorrow. Get in there now. Get in the communities. Learn about our coaching programs. get the books, because we're going to shift the way we do relationships, and we're going to shift the way entrepreneurs manage and doers manage their lives, so they'll be able to create businesses and be able to create legacies that do not dishonor God or themselves. So this is for legacy, this is for eternity, and this is for our families. And so less work, I'm excited. So find your tier. Listen, get in, however you, if it's $27, get in there. 87, get in there. If you up there and you say, hey, coach, I may not want coaching, but I don't mind paying an $800 price point a month to get whatever you got to do. We're here to serve you. We're excited about it. And I see you guys tomorrow. Love you all. Thank y'all so much for your generosity in advance. And I'm just excited. I'm excited. And this is my 11th, my 12th child, because I got a real human. But this book right here, man, I can't wait to get it into your hands. It's a comprehensive guide toolkit to ensure that you become legitimate in your relationships. Love y'all. Y'all be blessed. Catch y'all next time. Peace.